We're joined by someone who got to know Catherine Nevin very well in her later years, Derek Byrne. Good morning, Derek, and thanks very much for coming in to talk to us this
morning.
Good
morning, you're very welcome.
Now, you got to know Catherine Nevin in 2014 in Maynooth University, where you were teaching a course in addiction studies.
That's
so
right.
So you came late to the... got to know her, and you've been very eloquent. You've written quite a lot about this in the Irish Times. You've written in the Irish Times today about it, and you wrote about it a couple of years ago as well. What kind of a person did you encounter?
Well, I think it's right to sort of point out that I knew her in a very different context. And for me, also getting to know her in a professional context, I had to make sure that those boundaries were maintained and that I didn't allow any kind of judgmental factors to become involved in that professional relationship. I found her to be a model student. Now, she worked hard. She was interested in the subject. She was willing to learn. She wanted to help other students with her experiences in prison and what she was witnessing in prison in terms of...
Because at this stage, she'd been in prison 14 years.
Yeah. Mm.
So she'd been institutionalised perhaps at that stage, was she?
Probably. There were signs of that, absolutely. Particularly in relation to the fact in the first few weeks of the course, she came with one of the prison wardens. And but the thing is that she became well-liked by the other students. She settled in very quickly.
Was she the only person who came from the prison system, so to speak? Or was this wasn't a prisoner-related course. This was
a general
addiction studies course, and she had applied for it in Maynooth and went out and took part.
Yes, it wasn't. She was the only one that year, but it wasn't unusual. I had had prisoners in my course before. Yeah, so for me, it wasn't an unusual situation. I hadn't been told that she was going to be in the course. I arrived on the first night, and there she was. And, it didn't faze me in any way. And... From what I gather, they chose my class because they knew that I also worked in media and that would probably be able to handle any unwanted attention should it arise. And it did. It ended up in the paper. She was followed around campus one Saturday afternoon. I remember one night we walked out after class and there were flashes literally in the bushes. One night a guy walked into the class looking for the yoga class. He was obviously a journalist. So, and we would laugh those kind of things off, actually.
By the way, I was going to ask you, how did she... You wrote about her that she seemed to revel somewhat in her notoriety, did she?
I think it was all she had. This was in the 2016 article. It was all she had at that point. I think she also found it bizarre, that after such a long time, people were still so interested. And all she had to do was walk outside the prison gates and suddenly it was all over the papers. For me, the interesting part of the story for me as a journalist and as a sociologist was the uproar at, public money being spent on educating her. And I thought, well, this is what we do with prisoners. This is, it's part of the system.
I totally agree with you on that. Part of the rehabilitative process, if we are to rehabilitate them, is to educate them. All
absolutely.
Right, yeah. What was she going... Did she ever tell you what she was going to do with this... with what she learned in
your
class?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
What was she going to do?
She wanted to work with female prisoners.
But she specifically wanted to work with prisoners because she... Why was that?
With female prisoners.
Yeah, why was that?
Because I think what had happened while she was in the prison system was she developed a bit of a reputation, probably with the younger female prisoners coming in. She'd been there a long time. She knew the system. She was almost like a mother figure, a figure they looked up to. She worked in the library in the prison. And I think she was someone they felt they could talk to and they could trust and get advice from. And she kind of, I think, enjoyed that sense of, people turning to her at that point in her life after everything that she had been through. And it gave her a sense of purpose, I think. But I think she would have been very good, in fact, at working with female prisoners. I think she understood a lot, obviously, because she had been there.
It was very unlikely she posed any kind of threat to society at that stage anyway.
But I don't think so. Yeah.
Did she ever discuss with you, Derek, we could talk about this all day because it's a fascinating subject, but did she ever talk to you about her conviction or the reason why she was in your class in the first place under a warden's escort?
It was never discussed, never mentioned. We just didn't go there. And I think that had to be the case for us to be able to have that professional relationship. We could never go down that road. I don't think she went down that road with anybody in the class either. It was just something she did. Of course, you know, she would talk about prison life and she would talk about being in prison, but never ever mentioned the crime.
Because of her notoriety, I have to say to you, and we're just running out of time, but I have to say to you that, you know, you have very much been very brave to stand up for her in 2016, and now today you've written a piece in today's Irish Times, as I said. Because she was so incredibly notorious, because she was a household name, and because she was associated with what she was associated with, have you had any flack over standing up for her? Because you didn't have to do it. There's nothing in it for you.
I remember my dad at the time with the 2016 article saying, look, this could come back to haunt you. You know, this, you could get a backlash over this. And I just think that for me, what was important was that people just didn't focus on the notoriety, didn't just focus on the crime. There was another story there. There was another part to the Catherine Evans story. And I just felt that it was the right thing to do to put that out there. And I'm glad, in fact, that I got that opportunity. I think I'm probably the only person who said anything positive about her in the public domain. And I suppose, you know, it's... I see that as being loyal to her as a friend in some way, but also it is the truth as well. I mean, there was the other side, and we mustn't forget, of course, her
the family of Tom Nevin, you know, who was her victim, time, yes, who, indeed.
You know, and I think that I say in the article today that maybe this will be the end of it for them and they might find some peace. Okay. But there was another story there, and I thought it was important to put that out.
Derek Byrne, we could say a former friend of Catherine Nevin, who lectures in addiction studies at Maynooth University. Thank you very, very much for giving us that perspective and coming to talk to us this morning.